good morning on a finally Friday. Joining us in the studio right now is sensational local artist Michael Naranjo. Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
Good morning, Alan. I'm fine, thank you.
Now, you've got some crazy stuff happening right now. You've got a spectacular show that opens tomorrow at Nita Matucci Galleries on Paseo de Peralta, but I've heard it through the grapevine that there's also a spectacular book that's out featuring all of your work. Is that correct? Is it kind of like a catalog raisonnée of sorts?
That is correct. It's a hardcover back book, and it has 160 pages with four different essays, and it covers my work over the last 40 years, sculptures in bronze that are in addition.
Now, when I tell people that I'm having a sculptor in, they're like, oh, that's interesting. And then I say, and Michael Naranjo is a blind sculptor. People look at me like, what? And then I say, here, look at this work. And they're just amazed. Could you tell us how you got started sculpting? And were you sculpting before your injury?
I was born in Santa Fe and raised in Santa Clara Pueblo. And there I learned a great deal about my culture, the language. And my mother was a potter, and I would play with her clay. And as time progressed in my later teens, I knew that what I wanted to be was a sculptor. And so the pieces became much more sculptural. And from there, they survived time. A few of them, my wife and I have three of them, fortunately.
That's it? From that era? Just
from that era, wow. There are only three left.
And then tell us a little bit more, like what happened?
Then I was blinded in 1968. I was drafted. I wasn't thrilled about it, and
yes.
But I decided I couldn't say no and to the country, and some of my friends were telling me I could go to Canada and other things like that. And the war, of course, as everyone knows, wasn't very popular, but I went anyway. And I remember standing in front of my parents' house in Taos, looking at Taos Peak and how beautiful it was in the distance. And I thought, I might never see that mountain again.
Whoa.
And got in the car and drove to Santa Fe and headed south to El Paso, to Fort Bliss, Texas.
We're speaking of the Vietnam War, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So I ended up in Vietnam, and I wasn't there very long. I ended up going to the various basic trainings in Fort Bliss, Fort Polk, Louisiana, Fort Knox, Kentucky, then to Vietnam. Arrived in mid-November, and on January the 8th, our base camp was shelled in the middle of the night, and the next morning we went to look for the Viet Cong, found them, and we were caught in an ambush. They
Whoa.
Were waiting for us in an open rice field, and I was fortunate that I made it into the jungle where they were at. But of course, once there they were, and after I had shot at a Viet Cong, my squad sergeant behind me said something, and I ducked, and I felt this hand grenade roll up just up to my hand and roll away, and I turned towards it to get it away from me, and I never did see it.
Wow.
That was the end of night and day, stars, the moon, and there I was suddenly.
So then,
blind.
I imagine you were brought back to the United States and you started sculpting again immediately, or how long was it between the accident, your recovery, and you started to go back to working with your hands in clay?
I was in Vietnam in a hospital there for about 2 weeks, then moved to Japan, and I came across some clay there. It got quite boring laying in a bed and,
oh gosh,
and having skin grafting and various kinds of surgery performed, so
yeah.
I couldn't get out of bed for days. And a volunteer came along and asked what I wanted, and I asked for some clay. And that's kind of how it all began, from playing with a small bit of clay and remembering my mother's clay. And those pieces that I made when I could see. From Japan, I ended up in Denver, where I started sculpting a bit more in oil-based clay. A photo was taken, and it came out across the country, and I was amazed at the response from the photograph in the newspapers, and that started me off. Once I returned home,
okay.
I lived with my parents for 3 months, then got a sister to find an apartment for me in Santa Fe, and lived in Santa Fe in this little apartment, and discovered how to create pieces in wax, for I knew that once pieces were created in wax, a mold could be made easily and cast into bronze, and it slowly started my career. I one day suddenly realized, I guess I am a sculptor, and it was kind of shocking.
Are some of these earlier pieces, are they included in the show?
Everything is included in the show.
Everything that
pieces that I made over the last 40 years.
Wow.
Most of them are, all of them are in addition, and that means that if they're in addition, there are many copies. Some artists have large editions. Mine are edition of 10, 12. The ones that fit in your hands are edition of 30, 40, 50.
And I have to admit, I'm lucky enough to have just received one of these, a beautiful, beautiful sculpture that I'm quite proud of that sits on our mantle. I think it's called Thunder. Is that right?
That's right.
The beautiful bear.
I remember creating that piece.
All of the work is also in this book, which just came out. The book is available for purchase, I believe, at the show. Can you tell us a little bit about the show that's happening this evening? Tomorrow is the opening, right?
Tomorrow from 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
The exhibit is, all the pieces are there. All the pieces are also, I believe, in the book. And let me talk about the book for a second. Yes. The book was created by my wife, Lori, and Alex Hanna, a graphic artist here in Santa Fe. Incredible, incredible artist. The book is absolutely beautiful, I understand. And Lori couldn't have gotten it done without Alex. And thank you, Alex, wherever you are.
It is a really beautiful book, I have to admit. That's on my coffee table as well.
And so the pieces are all in the gallery and exhibited, I understand. And it's a beautiful exhibit at the Major Matucci Gallery on Paseo de Peralta. You can go in there tomorrow and touch them and look at them. And over the last 40 years, you can see the progression of the work, I believe. The earlier pieces are a bit more rough, shall we say. They're not as liquid and fluid as the later pieces. My pieces aren't realistic, they're representational.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're soft, gentle. Quite often people say that I'm that way, so they probably are that way. And one of the interesting things about the human figure is I believe it's absolutely beautiful. So there are nudes there, there are Indian dancers, animals, but with the human figures, they have no eyes. I can't see, I'm totally blind. Therefore, I guess my figures are as well. And they're quite happy being that way, I think.
How long will this show be up at Nida Matucci?
The show will be up until October the 13th. That gives everyone out there plenty of time to come out and look at all those, I believe, are great sculptures.
I'll agree. I will agree. And that's kind of unusual. Most galleries say don't touch anything, but you're encouraging people to come and touch the artwork.
Right. What happened back over the years was my wife and I decided to have touchable exhibits around the country, in museums, in galleries, because quite often I was denied touch accessibility in museums and touching sculptures. And of course, children go into museums and be quiet, don't touch. And so when we set up these exhibits in museums, in galleries, it's amazing to watch children and their fingers running over the sculptures and looking at them and having a great time. But not only children, adults will come up and say thank you and tears streaming down their faces. And always, I think we always want to touch things. It's one of our senses. It's important. Touch is very important.
Yeah, to be denied that kind of tactile quality. I mean, you can see something and you have an initial response, but then to go ahead and to connect it with one of your other senses, whether it's smell or sight or taste or sound, or touch, that kind of really, it makes the experience much more elaborate and more intense and more intricate. Was there a particular experience, because you mentioned that you were denied being able to touch objects and things like that. I remember hearing a story about you having an experience with touch. Did it have something to do with Italy, perhaps?
Oh, yes. at one time, we ended up going to Italy. We were having a papal audience, and we had a photo of the Pope and ourselves and a letter of introduction, and they loved their sculptors there. We would walk into museums. They would give us a guard, and I was able to touch whatever I wanted long as it was sculpture.
Okay.
And they would open doors and let me touch things that other people couldn't touch. And they built a scaffolding around Michelangelo's David 3 years later, which was unimaginable, a dream come true, something that I never thought would happen. There I was on the scaffolding touching the David.
You got to touch. Oh, no. Michelangelo's David. That's amazing. What kind of... Could you explain that sensation? That's... I mean, you're probably one of like four people alive today that's been able to do that. If that many.
I'm not sure. I've always liked to think that there aren't too many who have touched his work the way he has.
Right.
And I have. And then being able to touch so many of his other pieces in other galleries as well. But starting from the top of his head and feeling his face and the veins in his neck, those beautiful eyelids and the eyes and the tear ducts. And what always amazed me was the mass of the piece, but how graceful. And it seemed like when I was looking at his lips that, you know, you could almost imagine that they were going to open. And in his fist, in his right hand, I poked my fingers inside in between the fingers there. And there's a stone in there that's permanently captured and cased in his fist there. And so it gives you some idea of how large the piece is,
right,
if this small stone is locked in there.
What a sensational experience that must have been. One can only imagine that would infuse your own experience as a sculptor as well.
Oh, absolutely. I can admit that I had tears coming down my face.
Mm-hmm.
It was emotional.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in today. I would like one more time to mention that Michael Naranjo's entire oeuvre is on display starting tomorrow at Nieder Martucci Galleries on Paseo de Peralta here in Santa Fe. Please come out and check it out. You and Lori will be at the opening tomorrow from 2 to 4?
We will be.
That's very exciting. So your opportunity to meet the artist as well, to touch and feel and experience Michael Naranjo's sculpture, as well as pick up one of these sensational books of, it's a catalog raisonné, but I imagine you're going to keep sculpting, correct?
Absolutely.
So it's really not a catalog raisonné. It is your work up to the present, and it's a beautiful book, and check it out. And this will also be available as a podcast online at santafe.com. You can just keyword in blue or go to santafe.com and click on all podcasts. Michael, thank you so much for coming in. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the opening. Thanks once again for Thunder. It's a really spectacular sculpture, and I hold it dearly to my heart.
Thank you for loving it. Okay. Thank you.